18. The God's Vengeance. Watercolor. I think Madding always suspected the truth. Throughout my childhood, I had a strange memory of being someplace warm and wet and enclosed. I felt safe, yet I was lonely. I could hear voices, yet no one spoke to me. Hands would touch me now and again, and I would touch back, but that was all. Many years later, I told this story to Madding, and he looked at me oddly. When I asked him what was wrong, he didn't answer at first. I pressed him, and finally he said, "It sounds like you were in the womb." I remember laughing. "That's crazy," I said. I was thinking, listening, aware. He shrugged. "So was I, before I was born. I guess that happens sometimes with mortals, too." "But it isn't supposed to," he did not say. "What do you intend to do?" Shiny asked me the next morning. He stood at the window across the room, glowing softly with the dawn. I sat up, blearily, stifling a yawn. "I don't know," I said. I wasn't ready to die. That was easier to admit than I'd thought. I had killed Madding. To live with that knowledge would be, had been, almost unbearable. But killing myself, or letting Shiny or the Aramari do it, felt worse somehow. In the wake of Madding's death, it felt like throwing away a gift. "If I live, the Aramari will use me for the gods know what. I won't have more deaths on my conscience." I sighed, rubbing my face with my hands. "You were right to want to kill us. You should have gotten us all, though. That was the only mistake the three made." "No," said Shiny. "We were wrong. Something had to be done about the demons, that I will not deny. But we should have sought a different solution. They were our children." I opened my mouth, closed it, stared, though he was now little more than a pale relief against the dimmer sheen of the window. I wasn't really sure what to say, so I changed the subject. "What do you plan to do?" He stood as he had on so many mornings at my house, facing the rising sun with back straight and head high and arms folded. Now, however, he let out a soft sigh and turned to me, leaning against the window with an almost palpable weariness. "I have no idea. Nothing in me is whole or right, Ori. I am the coward you named me, and the fool you did not. Weak." He lifted his hand as if he'd never seen it before and made a fist. It didn't look weak to me, but I imagined how a god might see it. Bones that could be broken, skin that would not instantly heal if torn, tendons and veins as fine as gossamer. And underneath this fragile flesh, a mind like a broken teacup, badly mended. "It's solitude, then?" I asked. "That's your true antithesis, not darkness. You didn't realize?" "No, not until that day." He lowered his hand. "But I should have realized. Loneliness is a darkness of the soul." I got up and went over to him, stumbling once over the rugs. Finding his arm, I reached up to touch his face. He allowed this, even turning his cheek against my hand. I think he was feeling alone in that very moment. "I'm glad they put me here in this mortal form," he said. "I can do no harm when I go mad. When I was trapped in that realm of darkness, I thought I would. Having you there afterward. Without that, I would have broken again." I frowned, thinking of the way he'd clung to me that day, barely able to let go even for a moment. No human being could bear solitude forever. I would have gone mad in the empty too, but Shiny's need was not a human thing. I thought of something my mother had said to me many times during my childhood. "It's all right to need help," I said. "You're mortal now. Mortals can't do everything alone." "I wasn't mortal then," he said. And I could tell he was thinking of the day he'd killed Anifa. "Maybe it's the same for gods." I was still tired, so I turned to lean against the window beside him. "We're made in your image, right? Maybe your siblings didn't send you here so you'd do no harm as a mortal, but rather so that you could learn to deal with this as mortals do." I sighed and closed my eyes, tired of Sky's constant glow. "Hells, I don't know. Maybe you just need friends." He fell silent, but I thought I felt him look at me. Before I could say anything more, there was a knock at the door. Shiny went to answer it.
My lord.
A voice that I did not recognize, with the professional briskness of a servant.
I bear a message. The Lord Aramary requests your presence.
Why?
Shiny asked, something I would never have done myself. The messenger was taken aback too, though he paused only for a beat before answering.
Lady Saruman has been captured.
As before, the Lord Aramary had dismissed his court. I suppose making bargains with demons and disciplining wayward fullbloods were not matters for public consumption. Saruman stood between four guards, Aramary as well as High Norther, though they were not actually touching her. I could not tell if she looked any worse for the wear, but her silhouette stood as straight and proud as any other time I'd met her. Her hands had been bound in front of her, which seemed to be the only concession made to her status as a prisoner. She, the guards, Shiny, and I were the only people in the room. She and the Lord Aramary regarded each other in stillness and silence, like elegant marble statues of defiance and mercilessness. After a moment of this perusal, she looked away from him. Even blind, I could tell this was dismissive, and faced me.